Okay, in regard to you can go to your cave and learn to be peaceful there, or you can stay here and learn to be peaceful anywhere. Any recommendations for an upasaka who began practice, sila and bhavana, in 2006 and continues to practice, who is able to be on intensive retreat quite a bit this year, February at Spirit Rock, June the Forest Refuge, plus 10 days at IRC, 2 weeks in April, 2 weeks IRC is in Santa Cruz. But back home is finding herself quite tossed around by that. Lies and cheat, we call the mind. And I think one of the things is creating a, especially for somebody who is, an upasaka. Some upasaka is the Buddhist term for like a layman, laywoman. And what it literally means is one who draws close. So that like drawing close to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha, to the refuges, and finding ways to increasingly draw close to the teachings and to a form, a training, so that in of course in a it's like in a Buddhist culture, a Buddhist country, you could go to a monastery, but we're in the West. And there are all sorts of, and particularly West Coast here, there's just so many Buddhist groups, Buddhist meditation groups, Buddhist centers, like this person was saying, having done a retreat at Spirit Rock, retreat at Forest Refuge, retreat at the IRC near Santa Cruz. These are retreat places. But I think it is important to how do we integrate this practice into day-to-day life, and that also help. It's just so helpful to have good spiritual friendships, people who have similar interests, who have a similar commitment to the teachings and the training, who really want to live a life that's meaningful in a Buddhist context, so that seeking out people. And these days, it's not limited to actually solid human beings. I mean, just as we say, half of the group today that's joining this day long is online. And so that there's all sorts of online resources and groups and people. Just a lot of it is being a bit innovative in what do I plug in, and what do I, especially when, as I say, here in the Bay Area, you've got an enormous array of groups and traditions and teachers that one can be plugging into, it just encourage people to seek out teachers and teachings that one feels comfortable with or inspired by, pay attention to the it's like in Kroon Dhammo, can I tell your story? The one of when you were kind of fed up with the group you were going. He was part of a He was part of a Buddhist group that just seemed to be bickering or lost or confused, and you just really fed up with that, and He was complaining one time because he's been around the Sangha for quite some time, and he's complaining to Ajahn Amaro, as before he ordained, what to do? The group is it just seems so it's just so hard to inspire the mind to keep going back. And Ajahn Amaro said, "Well, why don't you go practice with Thupten children?" And Ajahn Kurundamo's response was, "But she's Tibetan." And Ajahn Amaro's response, "Yeah, so I mean, she's a good teacher, and she's got really good standards for her community." So that's what he did. And it was just, and then with the goal, I think in the end, his goal was coalescing into taking ordination, which is what he ended up doing. And coming when Abhayagiri began, he was the first Anagarika, first person to come in and seek ordination in our tradition. But yeah, it doesn't really matter which lineage, as long as they're okay. Are they teaching a straight Dhamma? Are they honorable and with living with integrity? And so and you say seeking those people out, either as teachers, whether they're lay people or monastics, as well as the lay people who are would be your fellow companions on the path. You hang out with people that uplift you.